Hey everybody, it's Britt, lead pastor at Sunridge. Welcome back to our teaching podcast. You know, we are on a mission here at Sunridge to help people find and follow Jesus. We believe in the good news that Jesus welcomes all, regardless of how far you feel from God. That means we're a great starting point to explore Christianity or to sink your spiritual roots deep as a devoted Jesus follower. If you'd like to know more about us, just check out our website at sunridgechurch.org. And of course, we'd love to have you drop in anytime for a visit to learn and worship along with us. And now, here's our teaching for this week. Well, happy Easter, everybody, on this Resurrection Day. It's so good to see you guys. Man, a lot of people out there. I'm going to be nervous. Do you guys remember when you were a kid and one of your buddies would claim to be able to do something you really didn't believe that they could do? And you would taunt them kind of like, you know, to man up and show you this thing that they say they could do. And you would say two words to them. Prove it. I can dunk a basketball. Prove it. I can ollie on a skateboard. Prove it. I can do two laps in the pool without coming up for air. Prove it. I can jump that gap on my mountain bike. Prove it. And often the proving would end up in a trip to the emergency room. So what if I told you I could make you do something that you really don't want to do, and there's nothing you could do about it? You would say to me, prove it. Okay, I will. Lift your right foot off the floor. Okay, that's not it. Don't think that you defeated me already. But keep your foot up. And what I want you to do is I want you to start to move your foot around clockwise. Okay, keep doing it. Now, while you're doing that, I want you to raise your right hand and write the number 6 in the air. I just made you reverse the direction of your foot, right? And there was nothing you could do about it. You said, prove it, and I did. So you can stop playing with your feet now. So you might say, Britt, what's that have to do with Easter morning? I know that Easter service brings a lot of different perspectives to church. Most of you here this morning or watching online, you're enthusiastic about Christ is risen. You say yes to that wholeheartedly. Others of you, you believe it, but honestly, you know, like you're kind of ho-hum about it. It's like you don't really make the connection to your life every day. And some of you, let's be honest, you're just here because your mom asked you to come. And that's a very kind thing to do for your mom, and I would say to you, you are not far from the kingdom of God for having done so. Regardless of where you're coming from, the resurrection of Jesus, where you come from in regards to the resurrection of Jesus, I think I have something for you today. And so the title of my message is this: Christ is risen. No, really. He really is. The Apostle Paul wrote in his first letter to the Corinthians that without the resurrection, this is all a big waste of time, energy, and money. And so here's 15:13 from the Message. If there's no resurrection, there's no living Christ. And face it, if there's no resurrection for Christ, everything we told you about is smoke and mirrors. And everything you've staked your life on is smoke and mirrors. Paul goes on to say, if the resurrection didn't happen, then our faith is useless. It's a pipe dream. Every person who has believed the gospel is a fool. Every person who has shared the gospel with someone else is a liar. And we're all going to die with this false hope and rot in the grave. If there's no resurrection, then this day of highest church attendance across the country is just a big bust. But then Paul concludes his remarks with this, verse 20. But the truth is that Christ has been raised up, the first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. And all the skeptics might say, prove it. The Bible says that Jesus was God who took on a human body, that he was born of a virgin. Jesus claimed to be the resurrection and the life, the light of the world, the only path to God the Father. He said he was God's son and that he could forgive sins. And do you know what you want to say to that audacious claim? Prove it. That's what they said to Jesus in the first century. And you know, he did. He said, okay, I'll prove it. I'll rise from the dead. And he did. And that's what all four accounts of the gospel the four accounts of Jesus' life in the gospel says happened. Christ is risen. No, he really is, but you may say prove it, and so I'm going to try today. Let's start with a few things that most people already agree on. Number one, we know that the Jesus of the Bible was a real person. The historical Jesus is one of the most well-documented figures in all of history. We have a detailed record in the Gospels, but even Roman historians verify that Jesus actually lived. And the Jewish historian Josephus, was one of the most reliable and referenced of the first century, says clearly that Jesus was a real man. He writes this: "Now, there was about this time Jesus, a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man, for he was a doer of wonderful works, a teacher of such men as received the truth with pleasure. He drew to him both many of the Jews and many of the Gentiles." So we know Jesus was a real person. Also, we know that Jesus was sentenced to death by Roman crucifixion. There's no question about that. We know that 3 days after his resurrection, many people claimed that he had risen from the dead. And there was a wide assortment of people who said they saw him. They said they talked to him. They said that they touched him. And we know that the Christian faith exploded at the same time when he was said to have risen from the dead. Many people at the time believed this. By AD 100, there were 25,000 followers of Jesus. By AD 310, 20 million. And today, there are billions of people who claim to follow him. And Christianity is the world's largest religious faith. These are all facts that the mass majority of people believe. But the question is, how did we get here? Are any of you fans of the old cartoon Scooby-Doo? Yeah. So do you remember when what Scooby would say when something happened that they didn't expect to happen, or they were troubled, or something surprised them? What would he say? Ruh-roh. For those skeptical of the resurrection, it's totally understandable. People don't rise from the dead. And if Scooby were here, he would say, ruh-roh. So here's the ruh-roh. I think I got a fan out there. Here's the ruh-roh. We know there was an empty tomb. Luke says early on Sunday morning, some women came to the tomb and to apply the traditional spices of the dead to Jesus' body. And when they arrived, Luke 24:2, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Ruh-roh. Then and still today, people have tried to find rational explanations for the empty tomb. You see, most historians, they don't quibble over the fact that there was a man named Jesus who was crucified by the Romans, was placed in a tomb, and after 3 days, the tomb where he lay was empty. There's no substantial disagreement on those points. The big debate, though, is how did the tomb get empty? How did the tomb get empty? There are three main theories today about how that happened. Number one, Jesus never died. This is also known as the swoon theory. Some people say, well, maybe Jesus didn't die, he just passed out and he revived in the tomb. Then he snuck out, went to see his friends and convinced them that he resurrected. Then he headed off to France, where he and Mary Magdalene created the Medici family and lived undiscovered until Tom Hanks figured it all out in the Da Vinci Code. But there's so many problems with this theory. First of all, the Romans were experts at crucifixion and execution. They knew when somebody was dead, and they knew how to make them dead. Roman law said that if any person was taken off the cross before they died, the officer that did so could be punished by death. So that soldier in charge, he definitely made sure Jesus was dead. In fact, when the soldier places the spear in Jesus' side, that John talks about, that a sudden flow of blood and water came out, that was a sure indicator that Jesus was dead, as his blood had already begun to clot and separate from the watery serum. actually, Jesus was practically dead when he was crucified, before he was crucified, because he had been brutally beaten with a cat of nine tails, which could cause death in and of itself. And then last, do we really believe that a man in such a weakened state could have rolled a two-ton stone Rona? Wow. A two-stone... Sometimes my mind is more brilliant than my tongue, so... A two-ton stone away from the entrance to the tomb. Thank you. Jesus was really dead. That's what I was trying to get out here. So the second theory is the disciples stole the body. The Gospels reveal that one of Rome's biggest concerns was that the disciples would steal the body and make it look like he rose from the dead. You know, detectives often look at motive in determining who committed a crime. And the motive here would be that the disciples wanted to continue this religious hoax. So they went from devout religious followers to grave robbers. And then somehow all this deception was going to benefit them in some way with power, money, or influence. And Matthew says that the religious leaders who accused Jesus of capital crimes colluded with some of the soldiers guarding the tomb to start a rumor that they had fallen asleep, and that the disciples must have stolen Jesus' body while they slumbered. Matthew 28:12, a meeting with the elders was called, and they decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. They told the soldiers, "You must say Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping, and they stole his body. And if the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you so you won't get in trouble." The problem with this theory is the tomb was protected by a Roman guard consisting of soldiers who were highly trained killers. So do you think it's credible that a few scaredy cats could sneak up on them under the cloak of darkness and silently roll away a 2-ton stone away and then carry Jesus' body away? Do you really think that all of them fell asleep when the penalty for falling asleep on guard was death? So let's use our imaginations here for a moment, and let's just say that somehow the disciples were involved in this deception. Say they pulled it off and they thought, okay, we'll be able to stick to our story. There's another rut row here. Of the 12 disciples, only John died a natural death. They banished John to the Isle of Patmos, thinking that that would shut him up, but apparently it didn't, because he wrote 5 books in our New Testament. The other 11 disciples all died a martyr's death. James was beheaded. Matthew was slain with a combination battle axe and spear. Philip was whipped, thrown into prison, and then crucified. Mark died after being dragged through the streets of Alexandria. Peter was crucified upside down after watching his wife be crucified. James was thrown from the top of the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem and then was beaten to death with a club. Bartholomew was beaten and then crucified. Andrew was bound to a cross from which he preached to his persecutors until his death. Thomas was run through the body with a spear. Jude was shot with arrows and then crucified. And Matthias, who replaced Judas Iscariot, was stoned and then beheaded. So let's think about this. What is the likelihood someone would die a death like that for something they knew was a lie? People will give their life for something they believe to be true, but people will not die for something they know to be false. Then, what are the chances that all 12 would be willing to die for their hoax? And of course, remember what this motive was for them. They had a lot to gain. Not really. And don't forget, a day before the resurrection, these guys, they're all hiding in a house, afraid for their lives, content to allow the women to be bold. So what caused such a dramatic change in their behavior? So let me ask you, is it really feasible to think that the disciples stole the body of Jesus? Jesus was dead, and the disciples didn't steal his body. Last, the disciples went to the wrong tomb. This is kind of a ridiculous thought, but we should at least note it. Because this theory says that the disciples were so traumatized by what had happened that they got confused and ended up at the wrong tomb. But that falls all apart when you consider that Joseph of Arimathea is the one that went to Pilate to ask for Jesus' body. And he placed it in a tomb that his family owned. This is his personal family's tomb, so I think he'd know where it was. And also the group of women that never left Jesus' side, they watched him be placed in that tomb. Then you still have to deal with all the people who claim to see the resurrected Jesus. And then once the rumor of an empty tomb got started, it would have been very easy for the Romans or the Jewish leaders to produce his lifeless body from the right tomb. So let's add it all up. If the disciples didn't go to the wrong tomb, if they didn't steal the body, and if Jesus didn't just pass out on the cross like he had the flu and then he felt better the next day, what's left? The resurrection. The resurrection is actually easier to believe than the theories that try to deny it. I'm going to ask the band and the kids to come back up. And if you're going to be baptized, I ask you to go to those doors over there. Some of you might say, okay, maybe some of the theories don't hold up to scrutiny, but Britt, dead people don't rise from the grave. You're right. Dead people don't come back to life. That's the point. Jesus was who he said he was. He said he was God in the flesh. He told people he was the Son of God who came into the world to save people from their sins. He said he would show the world how much God loves us. And he said he would die by crucifixion and rise again. And they said, prove it. And he did. Christ is risen. No, really. He really is. Will you stand and worship with us? Hey everybody, it's Britt again. Thanks for listening. If you need something, if you have a question, or you'd just like us to pray for you, you can reach us through email, info@sunridgechurch.org. We hope you'll listen in again next week, but in the meantime, keep helping people find and follow Jesus.